anywhere on the internet, and welcome to the first ever live edition of Richard, that's me.
And Carl, that's me.
Presenting Deep Space and Dragons, our award-winning podcast, I Gave Us the Award, where we talk about, I don't know, whatever we feel like that week, sometimes causing controversy, many times manifesting things into existence. So, and we're weirdly popular in Germany. So, before we get too far into it, what's new in the world of Carl? The Carlverse, as you were, apparently the most popular segment of our show, according to write-in listeners.
Oh, wow. well, so this weekend, Barbie and Oppenheimer both came out.
Oh, you did the double feature?
I did not, actually.
Oh, man.
You know, there was a
you
choice.
You're almost cool. You don't do the choice, you do both.
Well, I don't think that Oppenheimer is going to be the next Schindler's List.
I kind of enjoy how nicely that pivoted from our weirdly popular in Germany comment, but please continue.
I don't think it's going to be as good as Schindler's List, and I don't really like that many dramas. It just seems like it's going to be a long, boring, dry movie.
When your standards are, I'm not sure if it's going to be as good as Schindler's List, you're already setting yourself up for failure, but please continue.
Well, it's also not going to pull the rug out from underneath me like Inglourious Bastards, because they actually killed Hitler in Inglourious Bastards. It was like, what? I thought this was like a historical, apparently it's historical fiction.
Did you not see the name Tarantino on there anywhere? Because that might have been a bit of a dead giveaway.
Regardless, I really enjoyed Inglourious Bastards. And I really enjoy Schindler's List. And I just... Michael Bay, or... No. Not Michael Bay.
No, and Michael Bay's The Transformers Explosions wasn't good enough for Fast and the Furious guy. Although I do want a Fast and the Furious Transformers crossover movie desperately. That is what this episode's going to manifest into existence. Because I really want Bumblebee to speed around the corner. And Vin Diesel be like, get in.
anyways, the director apparently he didn't use CGI for the explosions, I'm sure it'll be quite the spectacle, but I opted for the more fun and mindless Barbie movie.
I mean, first off, the Barbie movie is getting pretty rave reviews for not being mindless, so I think you might have actually somehow picked the more intelligent, less Oscar baity movie.
I mean, so, I went to see the Barbie movie because the trailers actually, I think the trailers did a good job of making
Margot
it
Margot
look
Robbie's
like
just a delight.
Movie. Margot Robbie is a great actress. Then my girlfriend, as we were watching the movie, she was like, every Barbie that showed up, she's like, oh, I had that Barbie. Oh, my sister had that Barbie. Oh, my cousin had that Barbie. And it was like, that's funny.
I mean, to follow up on that, though, if me and you went to watch a Dragon Ball Z movie, we'd probably be like, oh, I had that action. Well, you didn't really action figure.
I did not really action figure. The only action figure I had was a Spider-Man that I got given as a gift when I was bullied.
That was... So before we unpack that and go into Dark Carl, which the Dark Carl arc is coming, and it's going to be like Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 0 Dark. But before we get to the Dark Carl arc... Please continue.
I will say, when we talked about the Mario movie, one of my praises of the movie was that it was very clearly made by people who were passionate about Mario, and they made sure to capture the essence of Mario. Like it was a really thoughtful movie in how they designed and made it.
Right? Easter eggs per square foot. Than the literal Easter Bunny.
the Barbie movie, I'm not a Barbie expert, but it probably comes close to Easter eggs because there's just so much Barbie stuff going on there.
Well, don't get me wrong, Barbie has deep lore. Like, Barbie probably has more video games than Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball Z showed up on every console ever made. Barbie is a powerhouse of an intellectual property.
But so the movie was very clearly made by people who were passionate about Barbie, and that passion really showed in the production value and quality of the movie. And I felt like it was a fairly intelligent and clever commentary on gender inequality. But then personally, I felt it came on a little bit too strong closer to the end. It was a really good movie, and I don't disagree with anything that they were trying to present, but I kind of didn't enjoy the presentation as it got closer to the end of the movie.
Counterpoint.
And also, Will Ferrell's in the movie, but I think there could have been a better actor cast for that role. Okay.
Well, it'll be Will interesting, because I'm going to deeply enjoy the pitch meeting that comes out of this one, because, like, my entire Twitter feed has been people posing in Barbie boxes, right? Like, Twitter turned into X because reasons. My entire Instagram feed has been full of people posing, being like, what kind of Barbie would you be? So, like, it definitely has some cultural staying power, but it kind of gets credit because you are not the target audience for a Barbie movie. So if you have positive things to say, that'd be like if my mom saw the Mario movie, right? Where she's never played a Mario.
Right.
Like, a Mario is what it would be called. So you can see why that might be an interesting tactic, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I did enjoy the movie overall. Maybe it's my own bias, but I felt it came on a little bit too strong closer to the end. But apparently the director, who seems to be very talented, is kind of known for that being a little bit preachy, I guess, is one of my other friends that really enjoyed the movie said about it as well.
Completely unrelated. So recently they announced that the animation team behind Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop is pairing with the director of John Wick to make an animated series.
An animated John Wick series?
No, just they want the combat choreography to be affected by the production and stylings of John Wick, because they're like, okay, you're both awesome. We met in some secret bar on the top of a skyscraper somewhere, and we want to make something really, really cool. So it's like, oh, so the studio that did Attack on Titan is getting the Cowboy Bebop team to fuse with the John Wick team to make something. And it might just be too much power. Like, this is one of those, like, weirdly perfect pairings, like Pizza Hut and apple cider. Like, it doesn't really get much better.
Pizza Hut and apple cider?
I stand by it. Try these things paired.
I mean, I guess Pizza Hut is a pretty broad category of things to pair with, so.
Specifically Summersby's apple cider. No, we are not sponsored by Summersby's apple cider. However, if it were to appear at my home, I would even question the data breach.
So what's new with you, Richard?
So, I don't want to go into too much detail on my job, partly because we're live on the internet, and I don't really want to dox anybody. But my work is having, like, a free ice cream and freezy giveaway, and no one volunteered but to work it but me tomorrow. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? They're giving us free ice cream in summer, and you get paid to be there. How am I the only one who signed up?
Are they also paying for your lactate pills?
I mean, I should contribute something to this team. Also, Cassie, who is too pure for this world, name has been changed for this podcast, gave me a Costco pack of lactate.
Oh, so you're not even worried about it.
Yeah. Which is probably one of the most thoughtful gifts I've ever received, to be honest.
I just thought maybe you might be able to expense your lactate.
Maybe. Actually, I'm pretty sure if I went to the health center and requested them, if they had them, they probably just gave me them. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, as the internet's aware, I work at Redacted College occasionally, and if detectives figured it out, they could probably track me down. Colleges are pretty good about just giving you things if you ask for them.
That is true. Well, I mean, there is also sherbet. Your boss did tell you there was sherbet, right?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, it's ice cream day. What? Sherbet's delicious, but it's ice cream day. I mean, in my ideal world, I'd probably have a scoop of one on top of the other, because then you got, like, an orange creamsicle flavor going on. So what's new with me is I'm excited for, like, I'm unreasonably excited to be paid to go eat ice cream. But also absurdly baffled at the apathy of these kids these days to not get paid to eat ice cream. Like, I honestly don't know how to bribe people anymore. I've, like, lost the gift where I can be like, hey, want cash and ice cream? And it doesn't work? That's it. I'm tapped out.
Tapped out.
Well, it's like, hey, I got to spend my club budget on burgers and board games. I guess I can attend. What? Did you not hear that there's, like, I've never had more power in my life to make delightful things happen, and I've never had more pushback in my life with people not wanting to enjoy their lives.
That was kind of funny.
Right? I say that like I didn't, like, go downtown for Canada Day and eat ice cream and drink out of a Cthulhu mug. My life's pretty great. Oh, also new with me is it was time to say goodbye to my beloved desk basil plant, because basil doesn't auto-regrow. Aww. So, but I received some semi-defective strawberries, and they're blossoming a little bit, so they're coming to life, and I'll just have desk strawberries, so I can just reach over and eat a strawberry while I'm podcasting. It'll be amazing.
Okay, so basil doesn't auto-regrow, but then, like, did you get any seeds or anything, or how does that work?
So, how effectively it ended up going is, in a random park somewhere, I have buried my basil in the hopes it comes back and just lives there.
Hmm.
But I only got 2 out of 3 pods for the strawberries, hence the semi-defective strawberries.
Right.
So I have 2 strawberry pods going, but then I trimmed my basil all the way down to, like, the base to see if it would also regrow to be the same size as the strawberries so my lighting would be adjusted correctly. So I have 2 okay. strawberries going, and I'm seeing if the basil comes back to life.
Yeah.
But then also, I might have just caused an invasive species of basil to just grow in our parks.
That is kind of funny.
Grass is the most useless thing. We could just have basil lawns.
Historically speaking, that is how invasive species end up.
Dandelions might be tasty. We just haven't been trying hard enough.
I'm pretty sure you can find recipes that use
that. That's why we have them. They were a salad crop.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never actually tried to eat dandelions because I don't trust the outside world. I live in a cave and it's lovely.
Speaking of, coming out of the cave, let's see what is our podcast topic for the day.
So we had it narrowed down to 3, so I have a D4 here, and I'm going to roll it.
Too bad you don't have the D3.
You know what? I want that set. I really do, especially the D1 that rolls and always lands on 1. All right, our topic is what's new in Shōen Jump magazine. Yearly episode, where we go through what's happening in weekly Shōen Jump, which is one of the few things where I actually use the first party app because it updates in a reasonable time, but Panda has One Piece spoilers always before I read it, but it's One Piece, so it's like, because yeah, his YouTube algorithm, apparently people are obsessed enough with One Piece, which doesn't surprise anybody, that they will read it and fan translate it before Shōen Jump can get to it one day later. Like, really? Someone just breaking in with a camera? Like, I don't know how they're getting the jump on this. There might be time travel involved.
Getting the jump on jump?
So, to start with, right now, Bleach is currently has being one of the best anime series of all time because they decide to put in, like, everything they got into the new anime season of Bleach. But I need to talk about the subtitles. So, Bleach loves to play with black and white color palettes, as you're aware. They literally color-coded they're not a Nazis. Note, this podcast does not support Nazis. And they're Shinigami into black and white deliberately. The subtitles on the Disney Plus app, which is currently airing the new episodes of Bleach for some reason, are in pure white. I don't know if you're familiar with Bleach, but there's a scene where Captain Freakshow creates a pure white room so there's no shadows deliberately so the Quincy's can't teleport.
Right.
Which means he could not read the subtitles. There's a recurring theme that when reading Bleach, you can't read half the subtitles because of dramatic lighting. And it's just so funny that no one in all of Disney's massive mega streaming corp watched an episode because you see within the first 2 seconds, not an exaggeration, that you can't read the subtitles if they're pure white. Also, in grade, like, 9 graphics design, they tell you not to use pure white ever because it's a bad color.
Mm.
And it's like, if these subtitles are even soft, slightly off white, it'd be possible, but literally, the main he's explaining the plot and you can't read it. Or, like, you'll see subtitles and Bok will flourish his cape and they'll disappear into his cape. And it's the funniest thing, because you cannot read the subtitles for the show at its official release. And it just blows my mind that the megacorp known as Disney is like, well, we're not going to watch our show we bought for $10 million or $10 billion or however much that must have cost.
Yeah.
To tint this, or that the Disney Plus app is so fundamentally bad they never built a subtitle coloring thing into it. Gundam in the 60s. I'm talking original Gundam subtitled. Knew to use yellow because the white subtitles didn't show up on the mobile suit.
Yeah. That's definitely... You know, I never really thought about that.
You can just put a black outline along your subtitles. Our logo, the Richard and Carl Presents, has a black outline to make sure the image doesn't bleed into the background at all. I, the most underpaid... Not really. The most somewhat adequately paid... of graphics design noobs could figure out to put a drop shadow on something. So, I love it. That makes me so happy that I have to then explain to Panda what was just explained, because I know it from memory because I hate Bleach.
More like you love Bleach, but the more you love something, the more you cramp on it.
I mean, Disney did this for me, though. This was a freebie. Like, they're crushing it, but like, oh, let's just make sure you can't read it. I mean, to be fair, that might make Bleach better, to be honest, if you can't read it and it's just the cool fight scenes. All right.
So what's new in Shonen Jump? Well, I mean, I don't...
Let's start with Cypher Academy. Have you been keeping up with Cypher Academy? I just have the straight-up list in front of me.
No, Cypher Academy is one of the ones I gave up on.
Because I gave that like 5 chapters where the premise was, you're in a puzzle-solving academy for puzzles, and then there's magic glasses. I'm like, okay, this seems clever. Apparently the translator gave up because trying to translate Japanese literary puzzles was just not worth it, bae.
Oh.
And they had to get a different person.
Not even ongoing anymore, or what?
Oh, no, it still is. They just had to like go through and find new translators for it because it was a pain.
Yeah, that does seem like a pain.
So I dropped off on that one. Like, it's one of those things where it's like... Shonen Jump's weird for pacing. And it's just one of those series where you're like, okay, I can only imagine you getting like 24 episodes worth of anime out of this concept.
Yeah.
Alright, the next one on this list is The Elusive Samurai. The series I really wanted to like because it was from the Assassination Classroom team. And then just didn't. Mm.
I don't know why I didn't jump on board on the first chapter, but I didn't, and then it's just then you gave me your review, and I was like, oh, yeah, that does sound like, I don't want to diminish the value of Japanese history, but it doesn't have the same meaning to me.
Yeah, that's very fair, yeah. And like it lacked the character likability of something like Legend of Arslan or Rurouni Kenshin, where it's like, you can do a historical fantasy. Mm. Like, Kenshin, they specifically wrote, so it didn't actually conflict with historical canon too bad.
Right.
But the character was compelling. This one wasn't particularly compelling, because, like, they kept the classroom vibes, but put it in a different setting. I'm like, you don't have a character that's hooked me. So that's where we're going to go to the next one we both caught up on, Chainsaw Man.
Oh,
I've never seen a series nail the transition to part 2 this well since JoJo's. Because, like, you got your Boruto's where you're like, holy heck, Boruto has managed to go the entire runtime of, like, successful series. What was the example? All of Soul Eater fits into Boruto? And nothing has happened in Boruto? Meanwhile, Chainsaw Man's like, yeah, no, hold my beer. Because they just straight up switched protagonist and did it successfully.
I'm like really like the latest chapter where he thinks he might actually get somewhere with a woman, and then wouldn't you know it, something weird is going on. She's got to be like possessed by a devil or something.
Chainsaw Man's just kind of fascinating because it's like, I don't know how it's endearing. It should fall in the garbage list. Like, for the things I hate in anime, tropes, cliches, sexism. But it's like somehow like Dodge is actually being guilty of these crimes. Like, it's like this protagonist wants to be Master Roshi, but the world won't let him. But also, he's not a creep. How are you not a creep, Denji? I don't understand. You should be a creep, but you're not. He just wants to go to the aquarium and look at fish, man. And you're like, well, I want to hate you, but you just want to go to the academy, to the aquarium and look at fish. And then you're annoyed that they're over-explaining the fish. Can we please go look at more fish? I get you, Genji. I get you.
Okay, so what's next on the list?
Next we got JoJo's Adventure Part 6, Stone Ocean. Please watch our previous episode on JoJo's.
Yeah, no, personally, I have not been enjoying Stone Ocean.
Like I said, I really like the animated version of it. But also, they fit all of it in 24 episodes.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a much better pacing than the weekly re-release that they've been doing.
Yeah. Although, the part of the problem with Part 6, so Part 6 is like a canon reset of the series, and Part 7 is amazing. Because they go back in time to being America, horseback race, find the remains of Jesus to give yourself superpowers, also multiverse, also the president is the villain, question mark, and he's hot. Like, Part 7 is amazing. So, Part 6 will just have to kind of, like, it does a decent job of wrapping things up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next, we got One Piece. Have you read all of One Piece yet?
No, I don't ever plan to read all of One Piece. There's just too many chapters now.
You know, you say that, but you've definitely read enough things together that you could be caught up on One Piece.
I could be if I didn't read all those other things.
Yeah. So One Piece is actually probably the best it's ever been weekly.
Because
they're like, okay, we're out of this long, soul-crushing plot arc, and now we're like actually like following. It's good. I'm just going to say One Piece right now, despite being One Piece. No, see, for earlier list about everything I hate about One Piece. Probably the most consistent thing, though. Also, they're doing the live-action Netflix one, which is a hilariously bad idea.
Okay, I was kind of wondering, the homepage on the Shonen Jump app has a cartoon Luffy hugging live-action Luffy. Like, are they making a live-action
If they can pull it off, I would be amazed. Like, Alita did it. Like, it's not impossible. But
yeah, but stretchy powers are famously hard to, like, make look realistic or good.
So, like I said, I have zero faith it'll be good. But I want it to be because it will blow my mind. But it won't be. But I want it to be. I still can't believe how bad they botched Ghosts in the Shell when you could just did that shot for shot. Like, it was just filmable. It was people with guns.
Okay. But so what's next on the list?
My Hero Academia.
Another show. That one I never even really actually got into at all. Well, okay, I think I read like a couple chapters, but they introduced too many characters that were doing too many things, and I was like, eh.
So
it kind of went the way of Hunter x Hunter with too many characters just doing too many things that need explaining.
Yeah, my problem with My Hero is I liked the academia, but like about 100 chapters ago, they just gave up on that part. So I call it the cheese pizza theory.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in your late teens, early 20s, a lot of people order extra cheese. Why? Because cheese is delicious. Mm-hmm. I was guilty of it. You were probably guilty of it. Extra cheese on a pizza makes sense. You're working at a pizzeria, you add extra toppings. But when you hit about 30, you realize the topping ratio is more important. If you put extra cheese on, your pizza ends up being too greasy.
Mm-hmm.
And extra cheese is actually not correct. Layered cheese is correct. Base cheese, pepperoni, layered cheese, maybe a different pepperoni on top so you can have it both ways. So the problem My Hero Academia has is they're like, yeah, we have our Great Ninja War equivalency, followed by a Dark Deku arc that lasts 3 episodes. Then our next Great Ninja War. Then our next Great Ninja... And I'm like, you can't go any... You hit stakes overload. The villain disintegrates everything he touches. And has the power to steal superpowers. And has like 500 other superpowers. And you gave your main character 7 superpowers plus the superpower of superpowers. Can we just... It's done. You're not going to beat Goku. The intern will never let you. Stop it. And like, no, the series was at its best when he like broke his wrist to try and like tell his friend not to like be talked down to by his dad. Like, They just completely forgot to have grounded stakes.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, I think All Might's about to pull out an Iron Man suit for his third rematch. It's just out of nowhere.
Pull out an Iron Man suit?
Yep.
I mean, I guess he doesn't really have superpowers anymore, so...
Which I was fine with, although there is a character that just rewinds time so you can just undo the lack of superpowers it gives. Anyway. Power scaling. Power scaling ruined My Hero Academia. Not everyone gets to be Dragon Ball Z. However, One Piece, they're now basically throwing around Ki Blasts, and because it took them, like, 10 years real time to get to that part, we're like, I'm fine with that. Luffy's kind of earned the right to Tao Pai Pai and just throw a pillar and ride on it. He worked for that.
So what's next on the list?
Black Clover.
Ah.
They went to Wano.
Yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying Black Clover.
Black Clover isn't as bad for the crazy power scaling. Like,
well,
Black Clover's a weird one, because I couldn't do the anime because the protagonist was too screamy. I finished Naruto.
The show is basically all about just, like, yelling that you're going to surpass yourself.
Which, I mean, is the Rock Lee motif. But, like, so Black Clover, I got into kind of after the fact, because it was one of those animes I wandered out to see Panda watching and then I read and caught up on.
Right.
It's funny, because they want to do the classic anti-magic Deku, but they just couldn't help themselves and they had to give him a fine array of anti-magic swords. And it's like, okay, you want to do the Mashal Muscle Wizard thing before Mashal, and you want to do the Naruto Sasuke thing if both of them had a little bit more therapy. Not like a lot, but like enough therapy to be like, okay, the person I grew up with, who is my opposite personality type, that we should be best friends, I probably shouldn't just listen to a random guy in a back alley over them. Note, Sasuke literally listened to a random guy in a back alley over his friends and family twice. Like, Kakashi's like, I lost all my friends, but I knew your uncle, and I can be there, and I know what it's like to have hatred. And then another person's like, I'm Michael Jackson! They're like, yeah, I'm going with Michael Jackson. And then he fights Itachi. Itachi's like, whatever you do, don't go with the next villain who shows up. Hi, I'm the next villain. I'm on your side now. What? He just said! He just said, don't go with this guy. This is the guy who killed your entire family. Itachi only got half of them. This guy got the other half. What are you doing? Anyway, Black Clover is a pretty good... It's a better Boruto than Boruto is, but it's very clearly a Boruto.
I kind of feel like you described Fairy Tales the same way, where it's like, it doesn't really do anything exceptional, but it doesn't really do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. Also, Black Clover is kind of a better fairy tale in some ways, kind of a worse in others. Like, I think
I think they're very comparable.
Yeah, because I would say Black Clover scales better. It's not doing the fate of the world every second week. And I think Black Clover's core cast is better, but Fairy Tail's extended cast is better, because they actually fleshed out the whole extended cast, but didn't shove it down your face. Also, Fairy Tail has adults, and Black Clover has children, and I prefer adults.
Fair enough.
It's like, Fairy Tail's like, oh, Natsu, Gray, and Lucy are doing sketchy things. It's like, yeah, but they're also all like 18, 19, 20, so they can just get drunk and pass out at a hot spring. That's socially acceptable.
Okay, so what's next on our list?
Akane Banashi, which I gave exactly two chapters before. I'm like, this is not for me. That's somehow in chapter 71.
Yeah, because it's about a girl that wants to do shadow puppet plays. Is that?
I don't even remember. Some kind of like specific kind of theater. That's just culture wall on that one, unfortunately for me.
Same thing. Definitely a culture wall. I just have no idea what it's even supposed to be about or what makes this particular art form great.
But on to the next one, Martial Master Izumi, which I really like the first three chapters and now I'm on the fence about.
Oh?
So it starts with, okay, this person's training with their grandpa who has Alzheimer's because it helps him remember and be clear. Super wholesome motivation. 10 out of 10. You learn martial arts because you love your family? Great. But they did it in a believable fashion. I'm on board. Then it's, oh, his friend wants to get into martial arts. And then he's like, oh, now I got drawn into this. And then I'm being scouted, but I don't want to hurt people. Pretty great. But they did the like most recent chapter, like, I'm your older brother, and I'm angsty, and they're fighting in a match. I'm like, too soon. Pace yourself. Like, they had him take out a black belt in chapter one, and I'm like, nah, to do a good Kenichi, your protagonist has to, like, have a unique trait, but they still need to work on it. Like, I like the idea that he's, like, an awesome grappler, but can't punch worth a dang. But they already had him, like, win against the black belt when he should have lost to the black belt, but, like, impressed him. Like, I don't know. They're setting up the stakes almost too fast. I don't really know how they'll manage to be consistent. If at chapter six we've already revealed, this is my brother who left the family to pursue strength. I'm like, okay, Baki, listen. If you're trying to be grounded, you gotta, like, ground it a bit more than, I'm already fighting a world champion in MMA in my MMA series.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, like, they're not doing super martial arts. They're doing regular martial arts. And the thing about super martial arts, like Kenichi, is like, okay, you can have Kenichi fight, like, a former heavyweight boxer chapter 5 because you had a character kick a mountain in half and punch a shark to death. So, like, okay, there's lots of room for him to grow in this setting. In this setting, there's not a ton of room for him to grow, actually.
Because
if he's already landing hits on his brother, who's the main villain of the show, it's like, okay, how are you going to continue this? Like, are we actually going to get, like, an insider look at the mixed martial arts circuit or what? So that's my thing. Yeah. Is I'm like, I'm a little worried that it already got, like, cancel noticed.
Yeah, maybe.
What are your thoughts?
But, well, I mean, I can kind of see your idea that the brother is the main villain, but I also kind of feel like they haven't actually established, like, I don't even know if there is going to be a villain or if it's just a slice of life martial arts manga.
See, that's kind of where I'm at too, is why I feel like this is coming too early, is the show hasn't really set itself up as anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a weird way to start, effectively, is like, we shadowed a character in chapter 1 and we're showing them in chapter 6. I'm like, did you write past chapter 6? Like, One Piece by chapter 6 had already, like, hadn't answered anything, but also had set up, this is a character, this is his goal, this is his objective, these are his friends, let's start the series.
Right.
I'm not saying you should aim to be as long as One Piece, because you can't. But, like, you know. But moving on to the next on the list, we have Sakamoto Days, a show I dropped because it decided to become weird high school fat shamey.
Well, I mean, they're past that part.
Because, like, I dropped it like a sack of lead when he went into the assassination school dressed as his wife.
But
it was so dumb.
They recently had a side character die. And I felt nothing because I don't even remember where that guy came from or why he's their friend.
Like, Sakamoto Days is so high up on my list of you forgot what your show is about syndrome. Because the idea of badass John Wick assassin becomes house husband grocery store worker who then takes on psychic apprentice was a great premise. And then, like, various, like, the more John Wick it was with a reluctant, like, John Wick starring Hank Hill is an amazing pitch for a series. Whereas, like, the guy never talks, but we gave the sidekick psychic power so they can keep, like, there's good stuff going on. But then it went, like, into the anime tropes for no reason. Like, yeah, we need to do a tuning exam on a plane to then go to superhero high school to then, I'm like, what are you doing, man? I don't know. I like my shows to have adults. And the moment they go back to a school setting, I'm like, okay, listen, why? But why though?
Why? Well, yeah. So Sakamoto Days, I enjoyed the flashback arc because Sakamoto got to be more of a badass again because it was a flashback.
I like him better not as a badass. I like him better as an accidentally effectual grocery store worker. That's best Sakamoto.
But what's next on our list here?
Undead Unluck.
Oof. That's a tough one.
Should we just leave that one be with oof, that's a tough one?
The abilities got really, really convoluted to the point where I almost gave up. But then now it's like the main character went through a time loop and was recollecting everybody in this new time loop to like take on the apocalypse. So it's actually, it seems like it's actually going somewhere.
Okay. I don't have a tons of thought on that one. Next we have Witch Watch, which I dropped when our... This is such a petty reason to drop a show. We have two characters with good romantic chemistry and a rom-com that has slight supernatural elements. We turned into a reverse harem. I'm like, but why? You already solved the equation. Like, you did the order wrong. You don't start with the romantic pairing and then make it a harem. That defeats the point of the harem.
Well, I think it is also hopefully nearing its end. Because there's the one evil witch that betrayed their friend group and trapped Nico in a anti-magic cave.
I was completely on board with Slice of Life witch manga. And then they, like, it's so ironic to be like, this new thing in Shonen Jump got too Shonen Jumpy. But sometimes that's the actual diagnosis. Alright, then we got Blue Box, which seems to be sports, haven't read it. New A's Exorcist, which I gave two chapters before it was too cliche, and they had a random fan service episode.
Yeah, okay, I mean, I don't care so much about fan serviciness. I'm still, like, you're right, New A's Exorcist does seem rather generic, and he does seem to be very quickly developing a harem.
Well, it's like, ever watch something be like, oh, you mean Shaman King, you're doing a Shaman King. Oh, but there's no tournament. Oh, never mind, you're not doing a Shaman King, you're doing a Two Love Rue. Boo. Then we have a couple left before we wrap up this one. We have the Inuichi's Family Deadly Sins, which I didn't stick along with that long. Also, it's kind of funny how inverse the things we followed are.
I actually have been really enjoying it because it's the first part where it was just like people being bullied. It was like, well, that's, I don't know if I like this. And then there was a twist. I was like, okay, there's a twist. And then there was another twist. And it's like, this manga has had more twists than Prison Break. and that's genuinely like, I have no idea where it's going next, and I genuinely enjoy the roller coaster of a ride that I'm on.
Excellent. Well, I'm not going to ask for any spoilers then, because I might give that second pass, because I was worried it was going to be like, so you know how a lot of those Reborn in Another World series are deeply nihilistic for no reason, and they're basically weird creeper power fantasies?
Mm-hmm.
I was worried it was going that direction, and I'm like, I don't really need deep nihilistic I read literary fiction. I'm a writing student. I do not need to read a bunch of Hemingway, James Joyce, and then finish with this. I don't need that in my life. All right, well, so
I don't know if it's uplifting, but it is fascinating.
I'm just saying that, like, sometimes I'm in the mood for something deep and thought-provoking, and then other times there's Naruto: The Whirl Within the Spiral. So, I find it so fascinating that Boruto's been going for like 3 years now, but it did so bad taking over.
They took a big long break since April 20th.
But they did so bad making people care that it's a Naruto one-shot. Boruto's still coming out. It could have been a one-shot about Boruto's grandpa, but no, it was about Naruto's dad. There's no reason that wouldn't be a Boruto: The World Within the Spiral, but no, it was Naruto, because Boruto didn't become a thing. This is a tacted admission of failure. Like, think about it.
What's next on the list?
Well, it was actually that Naruto one-shot was next on the list, which was just a Naruto one-shot straight up.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was a Naruto
one-shot. I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed it.
Alright, next we have Dragon Ball Super, which is just doing the movie.
Yeah, mediocre. I mean, the movie was all right, but I don't know why I need to reread the movie that I watched.
Ugh, Dragon Ball. Because they don't have any ideas left. They haven't had any ideas left since 1998. Let's see.
Wow.
I stand by it. And the last couple things in here are Mashle, which is basically done now.
Mashle is done. They literally published the last episode.
I'm happy with it. It ended fine. I got mad when it made me try and pretended I paid attention. And I want to burn World Trigger's heart in a fire.
Okay, I got two questions for you. First,
yes.
Have you been following Icehead Gill?
That sounds very familiar.
It's only on chapter 5, so you could probably read all 5 chapters for free without having to pay for the app.
I was rolling down on the Show and Jump thing, and I did not see Icehead Guild. I saw Doron and made myself really sad.
That was a sad one. Why did that one have to end? But Icehead Guild is about a roughly 10-year-old kid who has mad axe skills, and he's trying to find out what happened to his dad, who I think they're foreshadowing that his dad got possessed by a lich.
And ran off and killed a bunch of people. That was your first question. Did you have another question, or was it two questions? The first one was a lie.
Well, the second question is, have you been following Kill Blue?
Kill Blue. Oh, probably yes. Not. Yes, I have, actually.
Oh, yeah.
The really? Sakamoto days, kinda. Because we had the former assassin get shrunk to a kid trope. But so far, I've never seen the things tiptoe so close to me canceling it. Because it's like, okay, here he is going through high school again. Oh no, someone's hitting on him. That's super inappropriate. Oh, he's not interested. Oh, he just wants to protect her because he's a dad. Okay, you're so close. You do one screw up here, Kill Blue, and you're canceled. But it is John Wick goes to school and is living his best life, I'm actually fine with. But you're like one trope away at all times from me putting you in the cancel pile and lighting you on fire. The gentlest breeze in that formula falls apart. You do not understand how perilous and questionable the core premise of 40-year-old man with a wife and kids goes back to high school is. Because either you're 21 Jump Street or you're a crime. 21 Jump Street was a bunch of crimes. Oh, it's really creepy when you think about 21 Jump Street. So yes, I've been enjoying it, but my God, is it close to death at all times.
I have definitely also been really enjoying it. Particularly in his latest arc where he's fighting the unicorn sports player.
Well, he's not fighting the unicorn sports player. He's playing some soccer, and this kid's actually at his level. And that's the joke of the series that I enjoy. He's like, man, this is great. I'm living my best life. Like, a recurring theme for manga I like is I really enjoy deep twists, meaningful deaths, cool action scenes. But I also really enjoy when people are just living their best life. Because then I get so much more invested when the action scene happens. Like, to loop back to Chainsaw Man, I'm super invested because I want good things for Denji, somehow. If you don't want good things for your protagonist, then your series falls apart. Like, that Martial Master one, I'm like, at the very start, I really was vibing with, because I'm like, oh, he just wants his grandpa to feel happy. I want good things for him. And it's like, now I'm fighting my brother. I'm like, you're losing some of this goodwill, man. It's like at the start of My Hero, I'm like, yeah, I want good things for Deku. And now he's like, I'm the chosen one. I'm like, get hit by a bus.
I get another question actually now. Wild Strawberry. It's a brand new series that only has 2 chapters so far. Have you read either of them?
No. But I will take Cliff Notes. Oh, also Do Retry was interesting. Somehow that didn't make it on the list.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of becoming supernatural martial arts series.
But I mean, I liked Kengan Ashura and all its dumb goodness. Like, Baki fights a little caveman, so I'm not opposed to something being stupid. Like, I don't hate supernatural martial arts.
I don't know if it's necessarily that it's stupid. It's just like the special techniques that's like, you need a special technique to be able to be a pro boxer. And so then, learns to move like the water or something like that is.
I mean, that's pretty much a classic anime trope. Like, Fist of the North Star, they did a bit where he's like, yeah, I could actually fire Ki Blast, but that's less efficient than me punching you.
That's pretty funny.
Alright, but should we move into our random question of the week? Disclaimer, we don't always record every week.
I do like random questions of the week.
Are you ready? this one because
I think so.
The fans that send in these questions, I really do believe it might be one of the cursed people with the palindrome names trying to knock me down a peg or something, because we get some, like, lately we've been getting ones that are hard.
Okay, okay.
So, we got two here, and I'm going to go with the hard one first. If okay. aliens landed on Earth tomorrow and offered to take mm-hmm. you home with them, would you go?
Mm-hmm. No.
Why?
I would not go because the only possible way for this to come out is that I would become a pet or a like a zoo exhibit or something, because there's no other planet within the observable solar system where we can actually live at this time.
I mean, there could be a counter Earth directly behind the sun.
If aliens come and they want me to take me with them, the only way I'm actually surviving is in an artificial environment. And if I'm in an artificial environment, then I'm probably not free in the slightest.
Where I'm definitely going, because first up, if they landed on Earth tomorrow and offered to take me home, they have the technology to get to the Earth. But they actually cared what I thought. So that's already a really good sign, because that means they have technology, like you said. Either they're close enough that it's a reasonable trip, or they're super advanced, and they're like, hey, would you like to come with me? So I like to believe that the more advanced we get, the better our quality of life gets on average. And I'm just saying, a spacefaring warp-capable society asks me to come with, I'm joining Starfleet. This is going to be awesome. Like, my life expectancy just quadrupled, because right now the rich can already reverse aging. So I feel like these aliens got this on lock. And, like, the new flavors of ice cream alone they probably have. So, yeah, I'm going for it. Sorry, Earth. But here's our second question that came in. We're doing double feature because I like this question. What is your favorite sandwich and why?
My favorite sandwich?
Yeah.
My favorite sandwich is the grilled cheese sandwich, because you don't know if the cheese is grilled or the sandwich is grilled.
Carl, I've often declared you one of my best friends. You're always in the top 10, if not the first slot. But some days, some moments, I just think to myself, in the quiet of night, in the depths of my soul, are you an idiot? But no.
Obviously, the sandwich is grilled. I just really, it's like, this is a very strange naming sense.
But that's why it's your favorite. Isn't the flavors, the textures, the ease of creation, the consumption? No. It's the gimmicky, slightly off name. That is what you're... So, you go to a kitchen, right? You order a sandwich, and you're not judging it on, did they grill it well? What cheese did they use? What kind of bread did they use? No. It's, is the sandwich have a doofy name? That is how you grade your sandwiches.
Well, okay, a slightly more serious answer.
No, you're locked into grilled cheese.
I did have a prime rib sandwich. It was actually like an open face sandwich, so I don't know if it really counts, because it was just like prime rib on garlic bread with a whole bunch of gravy.
So
on
I need to pause for a moment. So there's a line good. On Star Trek Lower Decks where they're just trying to have something get etched in a monument, right? And then everyone's giving these roundabout, redacted government answers, and they're like, why are you making this so difficult? My thought for the sandwich question is clearly, why are you making this so difficult? But please continue with this open face, not sure if this counts as the sandwich.
No, it was like the most delicious meal I've had in my entire life, I think. It was so good.
Oh, dang.
It came with, like, potato skins that, like, were, like, homemade. Oh.
I mean, a good open face sandwich is good. It's just funny that the path your brain goes on is so majestic. Like, you would definitely dodge the enemy attack by paddleboarding the continent out of the way.
All right, well, do you have a favorite sandwich, or are you just going to list a bunch of ingredients that you would make into a sandwich?
I mean, first off, rude. Second off... So, my favorite sandwich is definitely the oven-baked tuna cheese bacon.
Okay, that does sound pretty good.
So, say back before Subway decided to triple their prices... like 18-year-old me walking to school like, yeah, I want a tuna and Italian herb and cheese, even though your bread's legally cake. Yeah, but can you put some bacon in that so when you bake the bacon, it adds the bacon oils in with the tuna? It's a fantastic combo.
I got a side note here. To my knowledge, the Subway bread is a cake. Is, as far as I know, only in Ireland and only for tax purposes.
But to counterpoint that, it should not be a debate. Like, the moment people are debating whether your bread is cake, you've already lost.
Well, they had to determine whether or not it was applicable for the value-added tax.
See,
and so then they're like, okay, for tax purposes, yes, it is a cake. It's like, oh, all right.
But if that's the choice you make for your sandwich shop, you deserve the mockery.
That's not the choice that Subway made. That's the choice that the courts made when they were determining taxes.
I still stand by the notion that if your sandwich is a cake, you've lost. Like, it should not be a thing that people accuse you of being.
So technically, your favorite sandwich is a tuna melt cake?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay, but does that mean that, like, one of those cakes with the custard filling, is that a custard sandwich?
Yes.
Because if I had known that was an option, that might have been my favorite, because I love custard cake.
But for the record, the tuna melts I make at home, where I'm like, that like 7-grain Italian loaf bread that's not particularly fancy, but it's pretty good, mayo the outside of the bread, go, your tuna, relish, mayo mixture, a couple slices of thick-cut smoky bacon, bake that with the cheese on, the bacon above the cheese, melty, slam those two together, eat that sandwich. Good sandwich. That one, cake-free. But if you'd like to hear your random questions answered on our podcast and apparently on air, feel free to send them to me somehow. I'm very, like, famous. Just Google Richard Kivas, you'll find me. It's not that hard. I put my real name on the podcast.
Surprisingly, so did I.
I mean, it's just Carl. You could be Eddie Carl.
That's true. If people look at our logo, they'll know that I'm Carl with a K. Which, actually, maybe that's why we're popular in Germany, because that's the German spelling for Carl.
I like to assume that they think your name is Carl Kivas, and we have the same name, even though we're clearly friends, not siblings.
Yeah, maybe.
Although, thanks to the power of typos, no one will spell my name right anyway. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Have yourself a fantastic indescript time. And send in your random questions, especially if they're food-related. I love a good food-related random question.
I also love food-related questions. And, I mean, I am going to go enjoy a bacon sandwich. So.
That is delightful. Ciao.
Ciao.